But actually, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, with me, to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And I want to talk about how, in all that goes on around us in the world that we live in, I think the church, first and foremost, need to gather to understand who the church is before we then can respond to the needs of the world. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love." I can't read this. Is the lights on? No, we've got the funky lights on behind. Let me try again. Verse 24, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." And lots of people are talking about how the day is approaching, and more things are happening that are hard for us to understand. And so what is the role of the church in that? And I want to encourage us that the role of the church in that is to be the church, to gather together as God's people, to engage with one another about these issues. And I want to just look at those two statements that it says in that verse, because I think that actually when the church does this, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, then it helps us to be what God wants the church to be outside these walls. And people are saying in our nation today that the church has got fewer people than it's ever had before. People are saying that people only come to church to find friendship. They only come to church because it's an entertainment for them. They only come to church for a sense of doing something that's different, to find out a little bit more about religion. But actually, the depth of people in churches are not like what they used to be. But yet the Bible points to us in this passage of Scripture and defines to us what it means for us to come together as God's church. Now, when we see things around us in the world that we don't understand, it's really hard to do that as an individual. But actually, when we come together as God's people to grapple with some of these things that we see, it then helps us to understand them, but also it encourages us to do something corporately about it. And we see here that actually Christ says here, the first thing it says in this verse is that when it says that we need to gather together. And actually, you know what? We're finding out. I was talking to some Baptist ministers this week that in all the denominations in this country, we see that people are less likely to come to church now more because they've become more wealthy. And so they are able to do a lot more things at the weekends. And so they actually lose a connection of coming to worship and gather corporately as God's people. Yes, we do it in life groups. Yes, we do it in fellowship groups. Yes, we do it by WhatsApp. Yes, we do it by Facebook. But it's still a really important place for us to gather together corporately as God's people. You will know as one of your pastors that I believe in double bubble on a Sunday. I believe that we should gather twice on a Sunday. I believe that we should gather with God's people to hear what God says to us. I believe, because I think Scripture tells us, that when we gather corporately together, God speaks to us. Yes, he speaks to us individually, but often he can also speak to us corporately together as his people. And so actually this verse says, you know what? I want the people to gather together, and I want you to be together as God's people. And the first thing it says is this: why? Why do we need to gather together? We need to gather together to spur each other on. When you watch the stuff around the world, does it not dishearten you? Does it not make you go, oh, or is it just me? You're all hot, I know, me too. And I'm up here. At least you're not moving. I have to move and look exciting, which is quite hard to do sometimes. But actually, we are called to spur each other on. And actually, when we gather together as God's people to spur each other on, it helps us to understand so much more about what is happening in our world. Spurs are those things, just so those young people might not know this, because, you know, I don't think we have them in this country very much, but spurs are those things that the cowboys used to wear on their shoes. Did you know that? Great. Did you know that? Everybody know that? Oh, you're a smart lot, aren't you? And as the cowboy was on the horse, and I used to go horse riding, by the way, when I was 16. When I got to about 18, the horse went, no thanks. But spurs were these things that go onto the shoes, and they would just knock them onto the side of the horse, and it would be something that wouldn't hurt them, but they would know about it. And that knock of the spur on the side of the horse would just spur them on to move. My horse never had much success about that. I used to just give it mints, and then when I used to get off it, it used to move. But then I had a sense that maybe it's the time to stop horse riding at that point. But actually, spurs hurt a little, but they do no damage. People need to be spurred on. If not, we get lazy, and we get lazy, and we just kind of let life just happen around us. And that whole sense here that it's saying in Hebrews that we are called to gather together as God's people, to spur each other on, so that we don't allow each other to get lazy and complacent with the things that should affect our hearts and our lives. Amen or not? You know, we shouldn't, because sometimes we can get lazy and we have to gather together for us to spur each other on, for us to say, come on, come on, there's things happening in our world. Can you not open your eyes and see it? What's our response? What's our response to the situations happening really? What's our response to things that are happening in the world? And actually, as we gather together, one of the things that we see here in Hebrews is as the people gathered together, they were called to spur each other on. People need to be spurred on. You and I need to be spurred on, both to enhance our faith for the things that God's called us to do, but also it spurs us on to sit down with people and have really good debate and discussion about the theological things that are happening in our world. We have a saying in the world, you know, in our office, we're always talking, aren't we? And Daniel puts us off tune sometimes. He just drops a bombshell in there, and we all look at each other and go, huh? What does that mean? And we did a bad thing this week, because every time we talk to Daniel, he's always on his computer. I'd say that if he was here, and he never pays us attention. So this week, Jonathan and I had a meeting with Daniel, and Daniel was talking to us about something really passionate, but I sat on Ricky's desk. Sorry, Ricky, but it's quite a nice, comfortable chair, just so you know. I don't think I've broken it. And as Daniel was speaking to us, we both turned to our computers, and we were just doing our stuff. And he said, what are you doing? Why are you not looking at me? I said, doesn't feel nice, does it? And then after that, he punched us a bit, and then we were okay after that. But actually, there's that sense that we differ in some of our theology, and we differ in some of our understanding of what's going on in the world. And we had a massive discussion after the London bombings and some emails that we received from people in church that might have different theology than us. But actually, as we gathered together, we spurred each other on in the faith, to then actually by the outcome of that, there was, what was our response because of it then? And I want to say to us tonight that actually as God's people, when we see things happening around us as we see in the world today, it's not the time to turn our backs to corporate gathering. It's not time to then live isolated lives. And I have a big fear for the church in the future, that they'll all just be speaking to each other by text and WhatsApp and messaging and all the rest of that. But actually, Scripture doesn't say that. Scripture says that we should gather together to spur each other on, to have conversations with each other. And that's the first thing I want to say is, when we look at what's going on around the world today and the things that we don't understand, we need to come together as God's people and spur each other on. Both in our own personal walk with Jesus, both in the things that Jesus called for us to do, but also that actually I was listening to somebody just this week that said, well, that's a bit distant from us, what's happening, about Portugal. 57 people lost their life in Portugal in a fire this afternoon, and somebody had a silly person to tell it to me, but they said, you know what, that doesn't really matter, does it? What do you mean that doesn't really matter? Because it's not in West London, it doesn't really matter. Of course it matters. Of course it matters. And actually, I was able to spur that person on in a sense of saying, you know what, it does matter. And we should be praying for that. And that's what I said earlier on. As things come closer to our shores and things start to happen on our shores, then actually we need to gather more together to understand some of these things. We live in a world that lack of love is so abundant. And do you know that quote that Diane said this morning? For those of you who are here, she said this: we are called by God to bring God's beauty in people's lives. We are called by God to bring God's beauty in people's life. But first of all, we have to gather together. A bit more about that at the end. So the first thing is, I want to say that we need to gather as corporate worship. We need to come together in the presence of God as his people. Because when we come together, we don't feel that we're the only one. You ever felt that? You know, when you have Bible study and it's just you, you're like, Lord, is it just me? When you go to maybe a life group where there's six or seven of you, there's something special, there's something different about the gathered church coming together to worship. And often God speaks to us in those gatherings like he doesn't speak to us in any other. And we can see that time and time and time and time again in Scripture. So the first thing I want to say is we need to gather corporately. Now, I know we're doing new expressions and they're going to start in September. And just so you know, the ones that will start in September, I know about them. They're not just starting because I've gone. I'll be back. I'm pretty sure I'm coming back. But we still need that place of gathering, because God says it, and also it spurs each other on. What's the other word it says that when we gather together? We gather together to encourage each other too. When we spur each other on, we are saying, you must do this. But when we encourage people, we're saying, you can do it. You know what? When we come together as God's people, we're called to encourage each other. You can do it. You can, come on, you can do it. Face up to that situation. Face up to that responsibility that God is calling you to do something. Somebody said to me this week, they said, you know what, when the things happened in Calais, I had a little conversation with the Lord, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I got no money, I can't do anything about it. And we had a little agreement, and God said to me that I didn't have to go to Calais to do anything. I said, oh, did he? Well, that's interesting. But anyway, and then they said, and then I said to them, well, what about West London? Why don't you go and do something there then? Well, it's West London, you know, it's quite far. I'll have to get the train into London, and then from there I'll have to get a tube, and I can't afford it. So I said, okay, well, we can resolve that one straight away. And so I got my wallet. I don't know if I've got any money. Oh, I have. That's nice, isn't it? I've got some money. And I said, here's the money. Go. And then the person said to me, well, maybe not today, but maybe I might have time tomorrow. I don't know if they've gone. But actually, as we gather together, we need to encourage each other. We need to say, you can do it. And I said to this person, you can do it. Go and make a difference. Go and stand with the broken. Go and carry the bags and put them into the refuge center. Go and just go and put your arm around somebody and just show some compassion to people. You see, as we see things happening around us in the world, we need to, first of all, come together as God's people. Why? To prepare ourselves to then respond in a positive way to the things that are happening around us. Young people, you know what? I'll be gone in 50 or so years. It's your responsibility to keep on going, to keep making a difference and making an impact. And I'm sorry to say, it's probably going to get harder for you. And we're probably going to face persecution in this land like we've never seen before. But actually, you just look at the revival that God brings because of persecution in this church. We don't like the persecution side, but we like the revival side. You see, we're called to, as his church, it says here in verse 24 in Hebrews, that we are called to gather together to encourage each other. From Acts, there was a time when the disciples were threatened by persecution following the arrest of Peter and John. You know, all through the Christian life, all through Christian history, the church have always needed to come together in corporate worship to spur each other on and to gather together to encourage each other. And we need to do that today too. We need to do that today too. As our world looks more unstable, as our political parties, whatever they're doing, looks a bit more unstable, as pensions aren't what they used to be, and all the rest of this stuff that we hear on the news, do you know what? The reality is that stuff doesn't really matter anyway. Well, it doesn't to me, sorry. It might to you. But all that matters to me is that I fulfill the calling of God in my life. And God will provide for absolutely every single one of my needs. Do you believe that too? You see, we've got to gather together, and we look in Scripture when the church faced trials and when the church faced difficulties in the world that they saw outside their walls and their communities, they corporately gathered together. They spurred each other on. And they encouraged each other. In the midst of running a race, runners will often encourage each other along the way. Family members will stand on the long route with signs of encouragement. When the runner sees the signs and hears the words, they will pick up the pace, feel a little bit stronger, and continue along the journey. You see, as we see the brokenness of the world, we need to gather corporately, we need to spur each other on, we need to encourage each other. Why? So that we can sit and say, hey, we feel good. No. So that we can then be powerful in our response to the world by being who Christ has called us to be, church. You see, the Bible tells us that we should expect to be challenged by what goes on around us, but we are called to love and to be love. And you know what? I believe this, that actually when God brings us together corporately to spur each other on and to encourage each other, then we are more powerful as God's people to go and make a difference. And actually, when we spur each other on, we're more likely to achieve more because we're less likely to be lazy and think it doesn't affect us. When I look at my diary and my responsibilities, I sometimes wonder, Lord, what am I doing? What am I doing? Sometimes I just want to break away and stand with the poor and the needy and show compassion to them. Now, I wonder what would be said if I wasn't in the office doing that. But actually, the reality is that all of us are called to do that. When we see the world breaking around us, we need to take Jesus into those situations to mend the brokenness and to bring light in the darkness. And it's been fantastic that we have seen people in our nation responding with compassion and love and hope. These people say that people don't care anymore. I don't agree. Because we've seen on the TV and we've seen how people respond to people. But also we have seen how the church has responded. But actually the reality is the church has only responded a little. Because if the church responded fully, then we would see eradication of so much more in our world. You see, when the church comes together and prepares ourselves and is empowered and built up, we can do so much more together. And we can change the world. And in those situations of darkness that we see, in the next bombing that will take place, in the next disaster that will take place, in the next moment when we have an opportunity for fight for people of injustice, it's really interesting in that tower block, who was it, the people that suffered? It was the vulnerable and the needy and the poor. And as a rich white man, which I am, even as a pastor, I'm a rich white man. Why is that so? Why does that need to happen? I may never get the full answers, but I tell you what I can do. I can respond by, in that situation, making a difference. I remember in Peru, I cut my hand open, and it was that's a lot of blood, you know, when you cut your hand. And I cut my hand open, and it was gushing and gushing. I still got the scar there, if you want to see it. Quite big. And all the blood was going everywhere, and the blood was all over me, and I wrapped up my hand with some tissue. And Angela said, go to the hospital. I said, I'm not going to the hospital. She said, I won't tell you what she said. Go to the hospital. I said, I'm not going. I just wrapped it up again in this bandage. And then blood just was pouring out all of it. And I did it again, and I did it again, and I did it again. About 10 minutes or 15 minutes later, she said, just go to the hospital. I said, I don't want to go to the hospital. She says, why not? I said, why do I have that privilege to walk to the hospital, go over the counter, pay my money, and see that private doctor who can then just sew me up, when actually 99.9% of my church family that I was leading never had that privilege? And I was just being stubborn. I said, why me and not them? Why did I have to see church members in my church in Peru die because there was no doctor in casualty and there was no ambulance to take them to the hospital? And yet there I am, because I'm white and because I'm privileged and because I have money, I can go and get my hands sewed up. Now, Angela had a good point. Go and get your hands sewed up. Stop being a plonker, because if you don't do that, you can't be here to help the people. All right, darling. So I went and got my hand sewed up. And then because my hand was sewed up, I could then go and be the person that God called me to be. You see, we might not be able to change the whole situation, but we can stand in the gap and we can bring light and we can bring the presence of God. And I long for the day when we see things that happen around us in this world, and then you all tell me, Pastor, we're not here on Sunday because we're going to go and we're going to make a difference. We're going to stand in the gap. We're going to take food to the hungry. We're going to take clothes to the needy. And we're going to stand in the towns and we're going to protest because we need to stand up for what is right. The reality is, in this church, there are some of us that do that, but we do it alone and isolated. But actually, as we gather together, spur each other on and encourage each other, as we see in the book of Hebrews, then that fires us up to all make a difference together. I read this book at the moment called Lead. It's just blowing my, the leaders are fed up with me talking about it, aren't they? Yeah, I can tell. Mark's going, yeah, yeah. Jonathan's saying he never stops talking about it. Ricky, you've got to look forward to that. But I'm reading this book called Lead by a guy called Carl Martin, who leads a really exciting church in Edinburgh, which I'm going to go and see on sabbatical. And it talks about how the church has just got to change its way to be effective and to be relevant. But I was just listening to a talk just a few weeks ago about him and about him encouraging his church. And he said this. He said, what are you when it comes to football? He said, are you a spectator? Are you a board member? Or are you a fan? And then he spoke about football. Then he spoke about a football fan is just fanatical about their football team. They're just crazy. I can't understand how you can be crazy about football, but Scotland beat Australia yesterday morning for the first time in 47 years. Did you see it? Amen. But actually, the reality is that a football fan will travel up and down the country to see their football team. They will invest in their football team with all the money. They will eat, sleep, their football team. They will give up and sacrifice other things for their football team. They will go from Inverness to Plymouth to go and see their football team. Probably get beat 7-0, but they'll do it. They'll sleep in travel lodges. They'll stay over. They'll sacrifice everything else a football fan will to go and see their church, to go and see their football team, go and see their football team win a game. And he made this understanding. He said, well, who are we in the church? Who are you and I as Christians in the church? Are we a football spectator who just watches it but doesn't get too involved? Are we a board member that just invests in it but we don't get too involved? Or are we a fan who gets fully involved in the life of a football club? And we can reverse that round for Jesus. I don't want to lead a church where we've just got board members just giving to the church. I don't want to lead a church where we've just got spectators just in the church. Oh, maybe you're all going to leave and now I'm on my own, but that's fine. I can work as a chef and be a pastor. But actually, I want people who are fans for Jesus, who we're passionate about Jesus. We'll give everything up for Jesus. We'll sacrifice the travel for Jesus. We'll sacrifice our money for Jesus. We'll eat, sleep, and be passionate about Jesus. Because that's what the church needs today. When we see the world breaking around us, we need to not be spectators of Jesus or board members of Jesus, but we need to be fans of Jesus. And we need to be declaring who Jesus is. You know, not in this church, but my old church. Somebody used to tell me, you can't tell me anything to do. If I take my money away from the church will fall apart. I told them, take your money from the church. Don't keep me to a ransom every single Sunday. Because if I preach a sermon that you don't like, you're going to take your money. Take your money. I quite like them as people. But they used to play that with me every time on Sunday where I would challenge them in the sermon. That was too much of a challenge, you know. If you need to calm it down, Scott, or we'll leave the church and take our money, and you don't know how much we give, but we give a lot. Take your money. They did.
Go.
And they did take their money. But do you know what? Didn't affect the kingdom of God in that church one bit. You see, and he was making this understanding that actually for us today, once we've gathered together in worship, in corporate worship, once we've spurred each other on and once we've encouraged each other, God calls us in the brokenness of the world, church, to be who God has called us to be as the church. Not to stay in here when the world falls down around us, but to champion Jesus and to take Jesus into those situations, to be passionate about Jesus. You know, I love the FA Cup, you know, these big premiership football teams with all the money and the goods, they go and play this little tiny non-league team and they all like cost about 50 quid for the whole team. And this million-dollar premiership team come along and they get absolutely slaughtered by a team that costs 50 quid. Don't you love that? And actually, you know, the world will say that actually the world is one and the world's important and probably think that the church doesn't really have a place today in the world. You know what? We're much more wealthier than those. The world is. Because we've got Jesus, and Jesus created the world. Jesus will close the world. Jesus is in control of all the world. And actually, when those non-league clubs beat those premiership teams, they're like, oh, that shouldn't happen. But actually, when we are the church, and when we have the power of God living within us, when we're champions for Jesus, and we're fans for Jesus, then actually, the world may say, whoa, what is happening? We think we're in control of the world. Us big powers. Be it the banks, be it whatever. But actually, when the church of God becomes the church of God that it should be, then actually we actually do the same. We actually say, those people that think that the little non-league club can't do anything, they can. Those people that think that Jesus can't do anything today, they're wrong, because he can. And he only can do it if you and I are passionate fans of Jesus. You see, I want to say to you, you know, I understand what is going on in the world from a biblical context. We haven't got time to go in that. But it's not going to get any better. And there are people who are walking in the darkness. And you and I have a responsibility to be the light. And we have a responsibility to stop saying that we're not courageous enough and we haven't got time to do it. We've got to go and be passionate about the right things. And the only way that I'm passionate about Jesus is when my brothers and sisters, you, and I do to you, I gather with you. You know, I didn't want to come to church today. I said this morning, imagine it hasn't come. I didn't want to come to church today because it's a tough day. But I knew I had to come because I knew it would be beneficial for me to come. And I felt encouraged by coming. You know, the reality is this, that actually when I gather, when you gather, I hope, when we gather together as corporate people, as a body of Christ, and we spur each other on and we encourage each other, then that helps us to be a better fan and encouraging each other to be a better fan. I love what Charles Spurgeon said, and I never got to meet him, but I would love to have met him, you know, big guy. He made me look like a size 8, Charles Spurgeon did. And he used to have these big whopping cigars. Imagine if he sat here with a cigar now, what he'd all be saying, ooh, look at that cigar. But, you know, big fat cigar. And he said this, I believe that the one reason why the... Remember how long ago was Spurgeon... Wait, 1 second. How long ago did Spurgeon die? Have a guess, JB. Yeah, that'll do for me because I don't know either. That's great. 140 years ago or so, Ricky, now he's an Oxford boy, he wouldn't know such things. But it says this, I believe that one reason, this is about 140, 150 years ago, I believe that one reason why the Church of God at the present moment has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church. That was 140 years ago. Now, there's been a lot of good. And bring back the revivals in our land. Why do we have to see them all happen around the world and never see them here? Revivals happen in Manchester. On average, in Manchester, every week, over 4,000 people are coming to faith in Manchester. But it's interesting, because Spurgeon could write that today, couldn't he? I believe that the one reason why the Church of God at the present moment has so little influence over the world is because the world has much influence over the church. I was speaking to my friend the other day who leads a massive church, about 4,000 members, and they said he's trying to work out how they no longer have to be part of the charity commission because I'm fed up of them telling me how I've got to do Jesus. I just want to do Jesus. But I don't know if that will ever happen. But the reality is this, that we could look at that statement from a personal perspective too. I believe that one reason why the Church of God at present moment has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church. But we could change that statement, couldn't we? If we were bold enough to do, and I'm hot now, if we were bold enough to do that, we could say, actually, what about me? We could say it, that actually the reason that we don't have so much influence over the world as a follower of Jesus is because we've let the world have too much influence over us. You see, I believe it. Take away my wealth and take away all that I have. I don't need it. I'm grateful for it, but I don't need it. I'd rather have souls in the kingdom of God than any of that. I really, 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 really would. And it disturbs me as lead pastor of this church in 2.5 years that we have not seen many new people come to faith in Jesus. And I pray that those days are coming. But actually, maybe the issue is that we can look at this statement for ourselves, say, the reason I have so little impact and influence over the world is because the world's got so much influence over me, I can't see Jesus. And I can't be Jesus. But as we see a world around us that is broken, we need to be Jesus. We need to gather together as God's people. A commentator said this, church attendance is like, church attendance is vital to be a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood to a sick man. You know, we need to gather together. We need to gather together. I was in a meeting about 6 years ago with Michael Smith and Matt Redman, and they were making a CD about mission, and they asked some mission people to be involved in it. And at that meeting, they said this: I think if the church did what they were supposed to do, we wouldn't have anybody sleeping on the streets any longer. C.S. Lewis says this: I believe that there are too many practitioners in the church who are not believers. I don't think that's true of us. Because actually, I think it'd be quite hard for a person who doesn't fully believe in Jesus to be in this church. Because we believe in Jesus, don't we? And we believe in his word. And we believe that his word can bring transformation to this world. So let me go back to where I started. When we see the world around us, and it breaks my heart as much as I hope it breaks yours. And if it doesn't break your heart, then come and talk to me, because that's not right. That's not right. But we have to trust in a big God. We have to trust that actually there's things that I don't understand, God, that you're doing. I don't understand why that happened, God. But I'm going to trust that you do and you're in control. And then sometimes we've just got to leave it with God. You know, a book that I'm reading at the moment by Chris Kandaya is called Paradox. It's about sometimes there's the paradox, and it's like, well, ooh, the two have to go hand in hand at the same time. And there might be things that I'll never understand about what's happening in the world, apart from this, that actually God said that it would happen. But God, why so much? Why so much pain and so much grief? Why innocent lives? Why? And I really felt that this week, and this is why I'm sharing it with you tonight, and if I'm totally off board, then I'm sorry, but I just felt this week that as I was in my office praying, I want to say it was my study because it was a day on Monday. I try and study in my office on a one day a week, and then I have to be in office the rest of the week. Rather, it was a study a bit more. But as I was thinking about what happens in our world, God drew me to this passage to say, actually, you know what? We have to be united in our support for each other, to encourage each other, to gather together, to spur each other on, so that then we can be a mighty army to stand in the places where God calls us to stand. It's really hard to stand on your own, isn't it? It's really hard to stand in a lonely place where nobody else is around you. I went to cricket on Friday. It's my day off. And she had gone to see her mum to, I don't know, just hug each other. So I had a whole day, and it cost me a fortune to park in Chelmsford. Goodness me, I nearly had a heart attack, by the way. But anyway, I went to watch cricket, and I said, you know, it's going to be good. And so I sat there, and I positioned myself at 12:30, and I left about 9:15. And I just spent the whole day, and I said to Anjanette, it's going to be fine. She said, you won't like being on your own all day. I said, darling, I'm going to love it. It's going to be great. It's going to be super. So I was sat there at 12:30, and the cricket was good. But by the time I got 4:30, I'm like, I'd like to chat to somebody. Chat to the bloke next to me. Hi, how are you? Enjoying the cricket? It's all right. Oh, you're having a nice day? Yeah. Clearly didn't want to talk to me. The people behind me, some estate agent, I think he was taking his girlfriend out for the first date to the cricket. What was that about? Are you enjoying it, darling? Do you like it? Yeah, but what is it when they hit the bat, and why do they have to run up and down, and why do they get a four? Well, darling, at one point he said, but darling, just be quiet and watch it and listen, and hopefully later on you'll understand it. I could have told him at that point, that was it, you blew it, buddy. But I didn't. And then he had a couple of more jars of beer, and he got even worse, bless him. And he went to the toilet at one point. I felt like turning around to her just saying, darling, just forget it. But I didn't. But I got to about 4:30, and I realized that actually I just deluded myself, because I needed to talk to somebody, because I needed somebody to talk to me, because I felt lonely. And Angelette was with her mum, and I thought, well, I'll do this because I can just think. And actually what I should have done is I should have just maybe been at home. So when Jess and Sam came home, I just was able to talk to them. Rather than running away from an issue of grief, I sat there thinking I could just deal with it. And then Essex lost as well. And, you know, Ken was busy with Gladys. And Mr. Cornwall couldn't come because Mrs. Cornwall said he couldn't come. I don't know what happened. But the reality is this, that actually I came to a point where I realized that I actually need people. And I don't think there's a single one of us in this room that doesn't actually think the same. Individually, we need each other. Do you want to come up, worship group? We're going to sing a song. I could tell you, say, what are you saying? We run over late. I know, stand up. But the reality is this, that we need personal encouragement. But actually, we're only going to punch light in the darkness when actually we are one people together. I want to close by saying this. When we see the world around us, the church does need to be the church. But the church can only be on the church isn't about individual people, is it? The church is about family. The church is about spurring each other on. The church is about encouraging each other. The church is about gathering together. I've been away for 3 Sundays, you may have noticed. Some of you did because you sent me an email. Where have you disappeared to? I was working, so for some of it. You know, and actually I said to Angela, driving back from somewhere, I said, I'm ready to go and see my family at RBC. Because I'd been away and I needed to come back and be with my family. You know, and we all feel the same. But actually, when we come together as God's people, then together we're stronger to fight injustices, to fight poverty, to fight the things that we don't make sense of. You know, and absolutely, Bruce, if something happened in this community, we would respond to it. But actually, do you know what? West London's not that far away. I'm going this week. If anybody wants to come, would you come with me? Just to stand, just to pray. In my sabbatical, I'm going to France. Do you want to come with me? Come with me. Come and stand with me. Come and make a difference. But let's bring it down to grassroots levels. What about your neighbor? What about your friend? What about your work colleague? They may not be facing big disasters. They may have not lost their lives. But they're still walking, many of them, in a darkness that needs the light to come into. Tomorrow, exams are nearly over, aren't they? There are only a couple of you. Jack's got one this week, I believe. But I think all the rest have finished. Is that right? Yeah. Just Jack. Keep on going, fella. Keep pressing on, buddy. But actually, the reality is that tomorrow we've got an opportunity. After gathering tonight, I want to encourage you at the end of this service, before you go, would you encourage one person? Would you spur one person on? And tomorrow, would you go into the world, forget about what the world says. Think of that quote. I believe that the one reason why the Church of God at the present moment has so little influence over the world is because the world has more influence over the church. I want to encourage you to ask yourself the question, what about you? Who's got more hold of you tonight? You're a passionate fan for Jesus, or you're a spectator or a board member? Jesus needs passionate fans. And that's the way that the world will change. And that's the way that we can't bring solutions to people being bombed and houses falling down and flats, but we can stand with them. And in that pain and suffering, we can bring the love of God into those situations. But it's a personal choice. And it's down to me making the decision. And it's about you making your own decision. Because as a pastor, I can't make that decision for you. But I could just encourage you, strongly encourage you, to be sold out for him. To gather together with those who love him. To spur those on, to encourage each other. And it says there in closing, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing so. Let us encourage one another all the more as the days are approaching. You know what? The days are approaching. The days are closer to Jesus' return today than they were yesterday. Just mathematics. But when we see what's going on in the world, and so there's a sense there that God says, you know what? Church, I need you to be stronger. So gather together and be stronger to make a difference. Can I pray for us? I said I was only going to speak for 50 minutes, but I got a bit carried away. But forgive me. Oh, no. Sometimes I can do that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Father God, that you are God. It's great tonight to be together. It's great to see our students in the middle. I love it when I see them come back from university. And I know they've probably got some exciting stories to share with us soon as well. But Lord, I thank you that we can gather together freely as your church. Thank you that, Father God, that we We don't always need to understand what happens in the world, but we need to be prepared to respond to it. We need to be prepared to take Jesus to the brokenness, to take Jesus to the dark places, to stand in the gap with those people that mourn, and those people that suffer, and those people that have loss of lives. We are not called to be so consumed by the things of the world that we forget the responsibility that God calls to have upon each and every one of us to be agents of change in the world. Father, may we never be a church where we're so focused on the world that we forget to do the things that God calls us to do. Father God, I pray for each and every one of us here tonight. I know it's hot. I know it's hard to think when you're hot, but I just pray, Lord, that we would all tonight just simply ask you this question. Lord, what is it you would have me take away tonight? What is it you'd have me do tonight? For some of us tonight, we might need to say, you know what, my focus is so much more on worldly things, and I just come as a board member, as a spectator of church, and I need to change my strategy. I need to give up some things. I need to be less dependent on what the world says I should be dependent on. But I need to be fully reliant on Jesus a bit more. For some of us, we might need to say, I need to stop having a passion about something, about bringing change and talking about it, but I need to just stand up, man up, woman up, and do something about it. For some of us, we need to gather more together with our brothers and sisters to both receive the encouragement and the spurring on, but also to be one who encourages and spurs people on. But Lord, I want to see, because I know that you have a plan to bring revival to this town, to bring the darkness into an understanding of light and a revelation of Jesus. And Lord, I cry and I weep and I mourn when I see innocent lives being taken in this country, in Africa, in South America. I don't claim to understand it, but I know that you call me to play my part in it. I leave the big question into you. So Father God, would you help us tonight as a church? Would you help us as individuals to not be so distracted that we miss the opportunity?